The Colindale Gazette is the new podcast from Brian and Roger's Dan Skinner.
If you've got a story for the Colindale Gazette, leave a message, and if we like what we hear, we'll get back to you.
I wonder if any of your readers would be interested in this. It's quite personal. I've never told anyone this, but I've never had much luck in life.
So search for The Colindale Gazette wherever you get your podcasts. You won't regret, you might regret it.
Cheese and pickle.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Brian and Roger by Dan Skinner and Harry Peacock.
Hi Roger, it's Brian. You know that sex warehouse I go to in Southampton? Well, I took Lazo there recently. He needed to let his hair down. Anyway, there was an incredibly attractive woman there. Legs up to her armpits, these little tight corkscrew curls coming out from under her rubber mask. Lovely ass. And she was getting a lot of attention. About 12 men were following her from room to room, of which I was one. And after a long night, Laszlo wanted to call it a day. He's sort of like, he's unfamiliar with English sex dungeons. And in the car park, I saw this woman coming out of an Aldi and getting into her Porsche with these corkscrew curls. And I realised it was the lady I'd been following in the dungeon. So I shouted, "Thanks for earlier, drive safe." And we struck up a conversation. And it turns out she's in the crematorium game and she runs several funeral parlours and she's been really busy. And they're in Dorset and they go right up to Luton. Anyway, Laszlo loved her and immediately wanted in on the action. So we took her out for breakfast and a couple of long stories short, he's now a silent partner. So sort of by proxy, I'm in the death business. And she's asked me to oversee the books on her her biggest outlet. I said I was an accountant, you know. And it's actually smack opposite a dungeon in Lichfield, which is good. But look, I can't be everywhere all the time. So I just wondered if you could be my eyes and ears at this place. There's some cash in it for you. But it's just good to have someone on the ground, you know, because I'll need to make some suggestions where to make cuts or whatever. But, you know, I know Christmas is approaching and might be good for you. And it'll be a huge help to me. All right. Cheers, Roger. Bye.
Hello, Brian. It's Roger here. Hope you're well. It sounds like you're very well. Your sex dungeons, etc. I often wish I had the confidence to go to a sex dungeon, but I just sort of worry that once I was there, nobody would take an interest in me and I'd just be left standing in the corner naked, sort of sipping a cocktail or something, you know. Anyway, the funeral game, eh? I didn't know you knew anything about accounts. I definitely don't know anything about accounts. The numbers have never been my thing. So I'm not saying no, though, because, as you say, Christmas is coming and money, etc. Also, I don't know if you've if I've ever mentioned my sister to you. Well, unfortunately, her marriage has failed. She was living out in South Africa and married to this game farmer called Eben Dupreez, who I never liked, if I'm honest. He was quite a brutal man with sort of an archaic approach to life, and he ate lots of meat, you know. Anyway, their marriage has failed, and she's flying back to London with her three kids, two of which I've never met, so I'm very excited. Anyway, as the older brother, I feel like I need to take care of her at the moment, so the extra cash would be really good now, because there are things she might need in her sort of vulnerable state. So, yeah, maybe you'd like to meet her, mate. I'm sure she'd love to meet you. I always talk about you. Okay, mate. Yeah, give me some more details. Okay, bye-bye.
Hi, Roger. It's Brian. look, I've spoken to Claire, and I've said you'll have a cursory glance over the books. You know, you just need to sort of look at them and make the right noises, and that should do the trick. But I did sort of say we were in accounts, but she suggested, she said that one of her embalmers isn't very well. He's quite an old chap, and he's been struggling with a heavy caseload, and he's quite recently had a stroke. But he said he'd be very willing to show you the ropes. You'd have to live with him. He lives on site at the crematorium. It's in Basingstoke. But it's 20 quid an hour, and I said you were good to go. So that should be great. Oh, and I'd love to meet your sister. Poor thing. Sounds like she's had a rough time. All right. Cheers, Rog. Speak soon. Bye.
Hello, Brian. Roger here. I must say I got the shock of my life when you said you'd spoken to Claire. But then I worked out you were talking about the sex dungeon funeral parlour owner and not my ex-wife, Claire. Who's never been to a sex dungeon, I don't think. But she did once ask me to go to a sex show in Berlin with her, but and I went as well, but I felt a bit uncomfortable looking at another man's erect penis at close quarters, and so I asked her if we could leave. So it didn't last long. Anyway, if you'd have said to me when I was fired from the managerial post at Frankie and Benny's in Kingston that in 18 months' time I'll have the opportunity to retrain and live with an embalmer, I don't think I'd have believed you, but I would have accepted, and I'm going to accept now, because it's Christmas and 20 quid an hour is not to be sniffed at. To be honest, I'm not sure how I'll react to being around the dead all day. But you know me, I'll try anything once. I'm so glad to hear that you're up for meeting Gloria, my sister. I'm sure she'd love to meet you once she's found her feet and she's got settled in with the kids. Okay, mate, speak soon. Bye bye.
Hi, Roger. It's Brian. Yeah, I went to a stag do in Berlin in 92. And I took mescaline, and I ended up in a bunker with some Latvian girls. And when I came round, I was in a military hospital in Wiltshire with a very angry father-in-law hovering over me. Heady times. Look, okay, great. This is good you're on for this. So his name's Pete, and he's well into his 70s, but he really is part of the furniture. He's been there forever. And Claire said to give you a heads up that he is quite eccentric. He's got his own way of doing things. A real character, and I'm sure you'll love him. But he said he's very willing to try you out, but he's used to working alone. But there's a fold-out camp bed next to the stove, and he's willing to give you a cupboard for your provisions. There's no fridge, but you'll have to earn your keep. I don't know what that means exactly, but you're being paid by Claire via direct debit, so I wouldn't worry. But just keep him sweet, and you know, I'd imagine he'll just want to test your mettle. You know, he talked a lot about drainage. And how people can react very differently to that, but I'm sure we'll be fine. By the way, I looked up Evan Dupria, the game farmer, you know, the one your sister's separated from, and that's quite a story, the animal skinning machine and the... My God, I'm surprised that didn't make the national papers, but... But look, Gloria looks lovely. Obviously very sporty. Good for her. So look, I'd love to meet her. Love to welcome her back to Blighty. So maybe text me her number and I can help her out in some way or another, especially if you're busy in Basingstoke learning to embalm. So look, I forward you the address in Basingstoke and I've given you Pete's landline. He's expecting you from 10 tomorrow. All right, cheers, Rog. Speak soon. Bye.
Hello, Brian. It's Roger here. I've moved in with Peter, and I have to say he's exactly as you describe. He is very eccentric, obviously used to spending quite a lot of time in his own company. But I thought you were joking when you said I'd be sleeping by the stove, but I'm on a camp bed in the kitchen right next to the stove. Apparently his spare room's full of stuff and he never goes in the living room, so it's the kitchen for me. I wasn't sure why I couldn't stay with Anne and just commute daily, but then on the second night of being there, the lights came on in the kitchen at 3 a.m. and he kicked me and he just said, come on. And I got dressed and off we went to work. Because he's a trade embalmer, apparently. He just handles the actual embalming and doesn't deal with the transport of the deceased. And that job goes to his mate, Eric. And Eric delivers the bodies at 3 a.m. And so work often begins then. It is quite gruesome, the work, but it's fascinating. And Pete is a little inappropriate around the dead, often playing with the mouths and making them say inappropriate things to me and waving their arms around and saying in an American accent, how do you like them apples? You know, I laugh, but I don't really find it very funny. And then when Eric arrives, the pairs will disappear into the corner and laugh and giggle like children. And they sort of look over in my direction. It's a little bit uncomfortable making, but I'm happy to do the work and it's nice to have a job and be learning new skills, and it's something I can talk to Jamie about. Gloria, she is very sporty, and I think that's why she married a South African. But it's great that you'll take her out, mate. That's a real weight off, because I'm going to spend a lot of time, I think, here working at strange hours. So be great for you to show her around. I'll send you her number and you can get in touch. OK, mate. Speak soon. Bye-bye.
Hi, Raj. It's Brian. so I got in contact with Gloria and they seem very settled in with Anne. So I popped over and it was a bit cramped, but the kids... seemingly having a great time. Anne was quite subdued and she was sort of muttering a lot, but I that's what she does, isn't it? But I took her over a big lot of Chinese for everyone, and she seemed very happy with her spring rolls. The kids thought I was you, actually, and they wanted to show me things, as is children's ways. You know, they show you things and then you have to comment on those things, which I did. But I find it very boring. I'm assuming everyone else does. But we left them in Anne's capable hands and we went to Wetherspoons for a couple. And she talked a lot about Eben, who sounds great, if a little old-fashioned. But, she's pregnant, mate. She's up the duff. So number four's on the way. She's obviously very sad not to see you, but... I said that you're really needing to take this opportunity, which she understood. And we had a lot of fun. She's great. Rog, be careful with Eric. He's had quite a checkered past. Pete's fine, and he's very old. But Eric only gets to work through Claire because he's cheap, you know? He's on a lot of registers, you know? Okay, mate, speak soon. Bye!
Hello, Brian, it's Roger. Mate, that's come as a massive shock, the pregnancy. She hadn't told me, I had no idea. It's got to be early days, because otherwise she wouldn't be able to fly. But that's such good news. I can't wait to see her and the kids. I actually quite enjoy the kids trying to show and tell me things. But I know it's not everybody's, you know, cup of tea. I know it can be a bit boring, you know. But thanks so much for entertaining and asking and, you know, taking her under your wing just for a little while. I'll get to see her either later on today or tomorrow. So not long to wait. I've texted her just to say that I'm starting a new job, so she understands. She knows what it's been like for me. So yeah, it's okay. I've got to be honest though, mate. Eric and Peter, they've got their own language. I think they take really great pleasure in trying to frighten me all the time. They're always playing practical jokes on me. And the other night I was in the parlor with a deceased male, and he was in a bag, and I was preparing the fluid for Peter, who was next door having a sandwich, when all of a sudden a very hushed voice came from the direction of the body. And I just stood bolt rigid. I was, you know, petrified, you know. I thought, what is that, you know? Then I heard the voice again. Help, he was saying. I didn't know what to do, so I went over and I unzipped the bag to try and try and get him out. You know, I thought he might be alive. And the voice got louder, help, you know. And as I unzipped the bag, you know, a bit more, the tape recorder obviously fell out. And when I picked it up and I turned and I saw Peter and Eric, and they were just laughing hysterically from the door at me, you know. It was funny, I suppose, but in very poor taste, I thought. I'm so used to their jokes now, I just brush them off. The other day I came back from the makeup room to find Peter with his trousers down, pretending to do some unspeakable things to one of the cadavers whilst Eric watched on. I just stared at them as if to say, yeah, you know. Peter pulled his trousers up and none of us mentioned it. And I wasn't going to give him the satisfaction of being outraged, you know. But it is a bit childish. It's, you know, both of these men are in their 70s, you know. Anyway, can you just tell Gloria I'll get to see her later. Okay, mate. Bye-bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with ACAST. Use ACAST's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with ACAST. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Rog, hello, mate. It's Brian. Look, mate, I have to tell you that some of the things that Pete and Eric are doing are jokes, and some of the other things that they're doing are not jokes. Making the mouse move and pretending that they speak, that is a joke. Pretending that they're crying for help, that is a joke. But the other thing you saw with Pete and Eric watching, that is very much not a joke. I hope you understand what I mean, Rog. Do you understand what I mean? You were not supposed to see that. Now, Claire has long suspected that this has been going on, but until now has had no proof. Now, we all need relief, Rog. But this is not on. I know it's not. You know it's not. But Pete sees it sadly as a perk of the job, which it definitely isn't. And he shouldn't be doing it. At all. But look, mate, this is a big ask, but if there's any way next time you catch him doing it that you can video him on your phone, and then that'll be a great help and will provide us with the proof that we need to get rid of him, okay? And if you do this, Claire is willing to give you a cash bonus, right? Okay, mate. Look, I'm seeing Gloria again tonight. I think we're going to go around to Paul's. Okay. Speak soon. Cheers, Rog. Bye.
Hello, Brian. It's Roger. I honestly don't know how to process what you have told me, mate. I know you said that Peter was eccentric, but this seems to be quite a few steps beyond eccentricity, you know? But I'm glad we both agree that he definitely should not be doing this, because he most definitely should not. It seems wrong on every level. I mean, no matter how good he is at his job, and yeah, I mean, he is very good, but this seems in the very poorest of taste imaginable. I couldn't sleep last night after I got your message, and I fear I won't sleep again tonight. And I know I'm acting weirdly around him now, which is, you know, making things difficult. I'm sure he senses something. In fact, I'm so troubled by it that I've doubled the dose of my antidepressants that I'm currently taking just to try and give me a boost. I can't get his contorted face out of my mind, and Eric standing there smiling as well. It just doesn't bear thinking about. Christ. And mate, I don't know if I've got the stomach to try and film him doing this. I don't know how I'd do it. I hide in the doorway, film him, I don't know. How long has Claire known about this? And obviously I'm not blaming you, mate, but I think a little heads up about this before taking the job would have been good on this occasion. But I understand, you know, you're in a difficult position being the new boy as well. Oh, anyway, I'm really knackered now.
How's Gloria and the kids? Please don't tell her about any of this because it feels a bit sort of humiliating to be in this position. Okay, mate. Let me know how she is. Okay, bye-bye.
Hi, Roger, it's Brian. Look, mate, I've got a splitting headache, so I can't really think about how you can go about filming Pete do his thing, but maybe you could have a camera behind the lapel of your shirt button and stand in the corner of the room, or somehow get on the ceiling, or, you know, not you, the camera, you know, above the body, or you could plant the camera between the legs of the body, under the nuts maybe, or I don't know. Look, I appreciate it, it's tricky, mate, but, you know, it's Sod's law. You probably plant the camera and it's the one night he's not horny and he doesn't do anything, but you've got to do it, mate. It's not optional, okay? And look, I'd go easy on the antidepressants. Remember last time you upped the dose, you kept falling asleep in unusual places. And look, Gloria's fine. She's fine. I took her around to Paul's last night and we watched Terminator and we did have quite a lot to drink. Gloria only had a couple of ciders though, but Paul had a bottle of Zambuca and we went at that a bit, you know. And then Paul's cousin turned up asking for money and Paul owed him and things got quite violent quite quickly. I can't really remember the order of events, but I think I exchanged blows with Paul's cousin. I must have done because I've got a really bruised ear and a terrible tinnitus. I can't remember how we got back to Anne's, but we ended up in Anne's garage on the sofa, and Gloria was up first thing when her eldest was looking for her, and I just got dressed and I'm back at the flat and the boys are out. So look, I'm gonna have a hot chocolate and loads of water and sleep this off, mate. Okay, good luck. Bye.
Hello, Brian. It's Roger. Oh, Christ, mate. I hope you get this message. Mate, I'm inside a coffin, and I think I'm underground. I think I've been buried. I think it's probably Peter and Eric who put me here. I videoed them on my phone in secret from behind a store cup. And what I thought was in secret. When I was behind the cupboard, I knocked over a jar of glass eyes, and they fell across the floor like marbles. And didn't put them off their stride, though, so I thought I got away with it. But next time they saw me, they asked to see my phone, and I said no. For a pair of men in their 70s, they can be quite intimidating. But I stood firm, Brian. Anyway, because I'm on a double dose of antidepressants, I fell asleep whilst applying makeup to a deceased male, and then I woke up in this coffin. I think they've buried me alive, Brian, and I have to say, I don't think I can work with Peter anymore. I mean, I'm all for giving people the benefit of the doubt, but he's just not very nice. So, I'm afraid it's either him or me. Mate, I really need you to find me. It's Christmas Eve, for Christ's sake. I should be with Gloria and the kids, not buried underground in a coffin. I've not got much oxygen left. I don't think I really, really need you to locate me and get me out, mate. I'm sorry to ask on Christmas Eve, but time is running out, mate. Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Hi, Roger. It's Brian. Yeah, that sounds like you got yourself in a bit of a pickle there, mate. Look, I spoke to Claire, and apparently this isn't the first time this has happened. So my issue was it would be... locating you, but that there is a sort of 2 mile radius where he's done it before, so the chances are I'll see a sort of freshly dug up area and be able to dig it up. I have got to go and get my flu jab first though, mate, but I'm heading there ASAP. Okay, mate, hold tight. Cheers. Bye.
Hello, Brian, it's Roger. I can hear digging. Thank God. I can hear digging above me, mate. You're in the right place, so keep going. Oh, thank you so much. Oh, I'm definitely running out of oxygen, but there's more in these things than you think. I think Peter put me in one of the deluxe models, which are they're slightly bigger, although I don't know why. It's not like you care if you're in here under normal circumstances, you know. But he did the decent thing, I suppose. Well, before burying me alive. Anyway, thanks, mate. I hope you got your flu jab done. I'm going to presume you have, given the length of time I've been in here. Not a criticism at all. I'm not sure what time it is, but I'm hoping I'm going to be out of here before Christmas Day to see Gloria and the kids. Although what I'm going to say to them about where I've been is anyone's guess. Oh, thanks again for coming so quickly, mate. I honestly thought Christmas was going to be ruined. Okay, mate, see you soon, I hope. Bye-bye.
Hi, Roger, it's Brian. So I'm with the groundsman now, and he laughed and he said Pete's obviously up to his old tricks again, but he's got the digger going now and it shouldn't be too long, okay? So look, I've had a word with Claire and she's going to hang on to Pete. He is very good at his job, even though he fucks dead bodies. He's got an amazing turnover count and he's very economical with the produce, etc. So she's going to stick with him. Sorry, mate, but she's going to sack you. I am sorry, this close to Christmas and all that, but... and Rog, look, Gloria's gone. She's gone with the kids. She got the last flight today so she could get back to South Africa for Christmas. I told her that divorce has been great for me, but it's destroyed you, and if she thinks her and Eben still have got a chance, it's probably worth another stab. But she said to say Merry Christmas and all that, mate, okay? So also, I was going to say, have you still got the footage of Pete doing his thing? Because if we pixelate the faces, Claire's happy for us to sell the footage, and we've got a lot of interest from a German businessman who's prepared to pay $5,000. It's a lot of money, mate. It's a lot of money, especially at this time of year, but it's up to you. Okay, mate, I'll see you soon. I'll see you in a sec, hopefully.
Written by and starring Dan Skinner and Harry Peacock. Produced by Joel Morris. This podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
GreatBigOwl.com.